This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's happening, everybody? Jeff Schwartz, Tom Byrne, once again for Mike Somich and Matt Brown, enjoying their vacation, I'm sure. Jeff, we got a lot to do. We got some breaking news. Here I was thinking Game 7 was enough to get me going. Now we got Kevin Durant heading to the Houston Rockets. Listen, the Rockets obviously overachieved this year. They got the number two seed in a very deep Western Conference. They were a little fraudulent, though. They had a lot of physicality. You know, they were going to be great over an 82-game regular season because they played every game like it was their Super Bowl. Once the postseason rolled around, you figured they'd be in trouble. They got a bad matchup with Golden State. The rest is history. They felt they needed to make a move. And this version of Kevin Durant on this contract is not all that expensive. So you saw Dylan Brooks, Jalen Green, the 10th pick, and 5 second-round picks. I mean, relative to some other recent trades, Rudy Gobert, even to Mikal Bridges, the Knicks trade, I'm sure there's some Suns fans wondering why they didn't get more. But you got to remember, Durant's not quite who he was before. So I don't know that I'd be running to the window to immediately start playing some Rockets for next year. But obviously, when KD gets moved, it's a major, major deal.
It is a major deal. And game seven tonight, what a time to announce a trade like this. And what's interesting is there was video that broke out that Kevin Durant was on stage at an event when the trade was announced. Like, he was live doing Q&A on stage. And he was like, I don't know, man. Maybe not. Maybe it happened. Maybe it didn't. So another dynamic of this. But look, you're absolutely right. The Rockets need offense, right? We saw that in the postseason. He provides them that offense. Is this enough to get him over the hump? I don't know. Probably not. But it does give him an opportunity now to say, look, we addressed our biggest offseason need. We went and got Kevin Durant. We went and got offense. He was finals MVP. They just need him really for the postseason, right? Like, just get to the postseason, be healthy. The thing that I do wonder, though, is that everywhere KD has gone, kind of soured pretty quickly. Like, is he going to be... Yep. Is it going to work well for the year or two that he's there and all of a sudden they win a championship, or will it sour quickly as well? The last part about this that I love NBA trades. Because in the NFL, which obviously full-time, you know, player like Kevin Durant gets a ham sandwich and a washing machine in return. They get 5 second-round picks, a first-round pick, and 3 players? Like, this is, it's, I love it. You know, there's a trade last week for Desmond Bain, four first-round picks for Desmond Bain. These trades in the NBA are wild, man.
Oh, yeah. Now, that said, it's all relevant, right, to the sport. Second-round picks in the NBA really aren't that much. So, nothing. In the grand scheme of things, for a player of his ilk, it really isn't that big a haul. But then you got to remember, and this isn't the end-all, be-all, predictive EPM, predictive Darko, all these front offices have these metrics. Kevin Durant's not in the top 30 anymore. Now, listen, in the right situation, do I think he's a top 30 player? Of course I do. Okay, I'm not going to be a slave to the stat sheet. And Houston needs a closer, right? They didn't have a closer down the stretch. Jalen Green's not that dude. Jalen Green's the high ceiling, low floor guy. One night he's 2 of 13 for 5 points, but then 3 nights later he's dropping 30. They couldn't wait on Jalen Green anymore. He's a little immature too, from what I've been hearing. So this is a fascinating trade. It's going to be a long rebuild for Suns fans under Ashibia and the new ownership. I feel badly for them. But the Rockets are going to be a big, big story now moving forward in the West. We're going to do a lot more on this trade, Jeff, as we move it along. But I got to get your Game 7 opinion. Adam Silver, and you hit on this at the top, he can't be thrilled about the timing. I mean, you got Game 7 tonight. David versus Goliath, Thunder, Pacers. I know the ratings haven't been great. Whatever. The true sports fan loved this series. Let me get your thoughts. We talked about it 24 hours ago. Money coming in on the Pacers. Yeah. Are you leaning one way or the other? Do you got anything on the total? The numbers way down because of history telling us that teams get tight. You want to play unders. I'm in the same space as I was yesterday. I'm not going to be the guy who's touting a play just to tout a play. If you see a bunch of guys who do that, I'll show you a bunch of guys who are losers long term. I can't force it. Side total's tough right now.
Yeah, well, I think... Just generally speaking, before I get to my favorite play of the day, and I, something I would wager, if you look at the Thunder, if you take them now, the -7 now, it's the best number I think you're going to get. Maybe 6.5 pops up again, so maybe you wait a couple hours or so, but take the Thunder now. If you like the Pacers, I think you get a better number in game. And I might look to back the Pacers at some point today if I get over 10, 12, 14 points, depending on how the game starts. I firmly believe the Thunder will start fast. I have OKC minus three for the first quarter. Look at the results of home games after losses for them. Just games after losses. I think outside of one Denver game, they have thoroughly won the first quarter. They've won the first quarter home in a lot of games in the postseason. And I truly believe, right, like I know we have the numbers and you mentioned some of the models that you use, but there is a human element to this, right? Oklahoma City played terribly in game six, a chance to close out Indiana and win a championship. They played their worst offensive rated game of the season in game six. They're going to come back home in game seven. And if we think the Thunder are the team that they're supposed to be, the favorites win the championship tonight, that championship-ness, right, that will show in the first quarter, right, with them playing the best defense we've seen all series, with them offensively bouncing back. Look, they finished 26% shooting from three. That's only because they hit like 5 3-pointers in the fourth quarter in garbage time. They're going to just play better early in this game. Now, why not wager on them minus seven? Because the Pacers are feisty. Like, full game, I don't know. But I feel very comfortable that Thunder starting fast in this game.
Yeah, if I played the game, by the way, I play Oklahoma City, it'd be Thunder a pass for me. But I'm so snake bitten just because I've been going against the Pacers all postseason wrong. And they've been biting me where it hurts, as you know. So I don't know if I want to do that again. I might wait in game. We do got some in-game baseball to get you updated on. Orioles are leading the Yankees 2-1. You can get the Yankees plus $1.15 now if you think they have a comeback in them, plenty of time. Tigers and Rays are even at one. Tigers went in a slight favorite in that one. Let's do a little baseball here with some games upcoming, Jeff. I've got a lot of plays today. Coming up in just about 30 minutes, I'm going to take the yes to a run scored in the first inning. It's funny, the public loves playing the Nerfies, the one time they don't like playing overs. Usually the value's on the overs. Now, I do have an under in the first inning a little later, Kansas City, San Diego. But I took the yes to a run in the first inning. I laid $1.15 in this particular game. We have two games real shortly. Rangers and Pirates, White Sox, Blue Jays. We could even talk Braves and Marlins because that's not too far thereafter. Do you have a play in any of these three games?
I do not. I have my first play coming up at 2:20 and then 3:10. But, yesterday I tried to play a game just to play along. It was 0 for 1. It was not good. So we're going to avoid doing that today. Of having an action to just have something early in this game. I do have a WNBA at 3:00 and obviously stuff for tonight. But no, I have nothing in these earlier games. Yesterday, I think we both regretted not being on the Blue Jays. Right. We both regret that yesterday. So I'm not going to go back there, even though I think, the Blue Jays run line probably the right side in this game. But the White Sox pitching today is not terrible. So I have nothing for the early games.
You. If you don't see value in the car, don't force it. You force it in the long term, you're going to lose. All right. So let's get to the 2 Eastern time starts then, because I have three plays on Mariners at Cubs alone. I took the Mariners first five, laid $1.20. I took a full game, laid $1.11, and I'm taking the under on a run in the first inning. So no at plus 126 is my play there. So I got three plays in the game, Seattle and Chicago. Is that the game you're targeting?
Yeah, I took the over for the game. Sort of the same theory I had yesterday, right, where it's, again, over 90 degrees and wind blowing out. That at Wrigley Field is an over game. 17 runs yesterday. They actually didn't adjust the total from yesterday. It is what it was yesterday. The Cubs starting pitcher, 42% fly ball rate. That's not great in a game where it's 90 plus degrees and the wind's blowing out. Cal Raleigh plus 110 to hit a home run today. That is crazy. Yeah. That is a very low number. Obviously, to put one out yesterday, we hit the home run with Crow Armstrong yesterday, which is nice. To hit that yesterday, but I just have the game over, full game over.
Okay. Hopefully we both could win, because I took the under first inning, and I am aware of the issue with the Wrigley Field weather, but I thought plus 126 was pretty good. Logan Gilbert, he's one of the better pitchers. Colin Rea concerns me a little bit. One of the reasons I did go Seattle first five and full game. I like to model these and it spit out some value on both the first five and full game there. As far as some of these other games that'll get going shortly, that's it for me until we get off the air. I do have the A's today. I'm a glutton for punishment, Jeff. I'm going to take the A's again today, even though they burnt me yesterday. I won my other two plays, but plus $1.15 on the A's today, which is a good number. I'm going to lay $1.01 on Houston, and I'm going to take the over. So, yes, to a run in the first inning between Kansas City and San Diego. Those are all in the 4 Eastern time starts. You'll be proud of me, by the way. I want to bring this up, even though it's later. I do have a WNBA play for you. Got a great number with the Valkyries. Found them last night, laying just 7 juice to $1.15. I think
it's like 9.5 now, isn't it? Yeah, it's like 9.5. Yeah, I got, I'm loaded up on the Fever and the Aces game. I got 2 wagers there. Got one I guess it's not available now, but I faded the Sky once again. They shot 50% yesterday and lost by 30 points.
They're
not that good in offense. And I got 15.5. It's now 16.5, which is an insane number to lay on a WNBA game. But mentioned it.
But
home teams, right? Home teams, WNBA, the Dream are really good.
Yep.
They got 2 forward and center, Griner and Jones. Like, I don't know how the Sky are going to score inside, which is what they do best. They can't shoot the ball. So I think it's another big win for the Dream here at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, and Angel Reese is now questionable, by the way. So that's a good thing for you, I would think. Not that she moved the needle as thoroughly as she will in theory in 2-3 years. She's still learning, but you'd rather have her on the bench if you're going to look to fade the Sky today. All right, we got big news coming out of the NBA. Not only a game 7 tonight, but Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket. Hoonoff Manji is going to join us. He knows very well what this might mean to pregame.com. Jeff Schwartz, Tom Byrne. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We got Jeff Schwartz and Tom Byrne sitting in today. Always good to have you. Monster day in the NBA. Game 7 on tap tonight. Everything else kind of on the back burner, you think, right? And then, boom, John Strania reports the Houston Rockets are landing Kevin Durant. What an enormous trade for Houston. I think it makes an awful lot of sense. I really do. Look, I know that it's never a slam dunk when you're bringing in somebody of this age, but he is an all-time great player, and he's going to be a guy you could give the ball to when, you know, shot clock's turned off in a big spot. So Hoonoff Manji, let's go to him. He knows Houston inside and out, Jeff. We're going to get his thoughts on game 7 in just a moment. You guys can read on pregame.com. Hoonoff, let's hear it. You and I just went over it a little bit in the break. Tell the audience what you told me, because I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for this trade with the Rockets and the Suns is that the Rockets didn't mortgage a lot of their future, especially their young core, right? Yes, Jalen Green was going to be the centerpiece of this trade and the number 10 overall pick, but I mean, it was either going to be Reed Shepard, Jabari Smith Jr., Cam Whitmore, one of those guys for the Rockets that looked like they're going to be a part of this trade. But again, they didn't mortgage any of that in this trade. Yes, 5 second round draft picks, but second round draft picks, especially in the NBA draft, doesn't really mean a whole heck of a lot. So not only were they able to get a future Hall of Famer, yes, he's getting up there in age, guys, but the one area the Rockets really struggled in, not only during the regular season and in the playoffs, was in the half court offense. You know, when the game does slow down a little bit, especially in crunch time, Rockets didn't really have that guy to give him that clutch, you know, those clutch minutes and those clutch baskets. And now you bring in a guy like Kevin Durant, who's done it all throughout his career. That's just going to give this Rockets team a big boost. And there's still that young talent that the Rockets have. And, you know, Kevin Durant hopefully will mentor some of those young guys and, you know, teach them everything that he's learned about his offense and, you know, how he's become one of the greats with the young talent with the Rockets have with Reed Shepard, Amen Thompson, Shangoon is still there as well. So I think this is a huge win for the Houston Rockets.
Does this push them closer to winning the West? Like, is that a wager you're willing to make? Not today, but as you get closer to next season.
I'll try to take my fandom out of it. I feel like there still needs to be one more type of move to be made for this Rockets team, whether it's the bench or you're bringing up a backup point guard for this team. But I feel like from now and maybe the next 3, 4, 5 years, I think the West is really wide open. And I think the Rockets are heading in that right direction, right? Obviously, OKC on the brink, possibly of winning their first NBA title. But I would make that wager for this Rockets team, if not for, you know, maybe the championship, but at least a regular season win total. Maybe that goes over, because one of the things that's really lacking now in the NBA is defense. And right, I think Thunder, yes, they have SGA on the offensive side, but they were one of the best, if not the best, defensive team. And that's what this Rockets team really prided themselves on last season. Yes, they struggled a little bit on offense. You add Kevin Durant, but that defensive intensity is still going to be there for this Rockets team. So regular season win total, I would look at them to go over. And then if you talk about future championship odds, you know, maybe to win the West, I think that's a major I would be willing to make. I know they got their first playoff experience from these young guys, but Kevin Durant has been there. Fred VanVleet has been there for this team. So they got that taste. They're going to be hungry to get back to the playoffs and, you know, at least get to the conference finals.
Joining us now on the Progressive guest line, Mudof Manji, doing an excellent job. Pregame.com, Jeff Schwartz, Tom Burr with you on this edition of Ready, Set, Bet. All right, I'm looking and the total sitting there at 215. I am seeing a 214 and a half start. The pop money has come in as far as the spread's concerned, as you know, Mudof. I am seeing, you know, you could get plus 104 with the 7 on Indiana if you like. I'm seeing you could lay 7 with the Thunder. Which way are you leaning?
I like the Pacers in this game. I like them to cover the game. I would not be shocked if they do go into this game in game 7 and win it outright, frankly. We've seen, I believe, the last four teams that were down 3-2 in the NBA Finals who forced a game 7. All those teams went in, at least the last four, I should say, went on to win the NBA Finals. And I mean, you could say the Pacers are playing with house money because nobody expected them to really be here in the NBA Finals. A lot of people were saying this could be a gentleman's sweep, you know, the favor of the Thunder, but here they are in game 7. And I think a lot of credit you got to give to Rick Carlisle and what he's been able to do. I mean, if he wins his title, he would probably have the two most improbable NBA title wins on his coaching resume when he beat the Miami Heat in the first year of LeBron James, and now being this OKC team that, I mean, made the regular season look really, really easy. So I like the Pacers here. Yes, I know the Thunder have been really good at home this season in the playoffs and the regular season, but there's just something to this Pacers team because they play the full 48 minutes. They don't give up. And we've seen that throughout the playoffs where they had those improbable comebacks in the final minutes. They're going to play the full 48 minutes. And that's the team that I want to back here, getting the points. We've seen over the past decade plus that the margin of victory has only been about 6.9 points for the winner of the game 7 finals game. So this will be a close game. I don't expect a lot of free throws. I think the refs will swallow the whistles, that the players go out and win this game here. But give me the Pacers here. I like their chances here to at least cover the game, if not possibly even win it outright.
What about the total? It's much lower than we've seen other games in this series. A lot of money on the over today. I think people look at the number and say, wow, that's very low. We know game 7s, though, tend to go under, even though I will note that the Thunder and the Nuggets game went way over game 7 or in the postseason. Do you have a thought on the total at all?
Yeah, if anything, I would look towards the under, gentlemen. If we take a look at conference finals and the NBA finals, when it does get to a game 7, 11-1 to the under. And I think it's been 8 straight unders, whether it's been a game 7 in the conference finals or the NBA finals. So I don't expect that, like I mentioned, with the referees, the calling a lot of tic-tac fouls. I think the physicality, they'll let it go a little bit, unless it's like an obvious foul. Of course, they'll call it here, but especially in that second half. So if you see maybe a higher scoring first half, I would come in on the second half and go under, because if it's a close game, guys, every possession is going to matter. I think they're going to slow it down in the half court offense. And that's where, you know, the shot clock and the clock keeps tick, tick, tick. So I think this game does go under. Again, the defense has been getting better for both of these teams as the series has progressed. And we haven't seen a lot of high scoring games in this NBA final, especially with the Indiana Pacers team, who play really at one speed, but they've been able to make adjustments, give them a lot of credit. But I do think this game does end up going under. I mean, it's a big adjustment, but I think a little bit is that the books have baked in that it's a game 7. And historically, we've seen game 7s, especially in the NBA finals, go under the total.
Yeah, we sure have. He's Mudof Manji joining us on the Progressive guest line. I'm Tom Byrne, Jeff Schwartz sitting alongside as well. We know you're not a one-trick pony. Let's get to some of your MLB plays. The NBA is going to rule today, but that doesn't mean there's not some money to be made on the diamond. What are you eyeing up?
Yeah, I like the Reds here with Andrew Abbott on the mound. He's having an incredible season for the Cincinnati Reds. You take a look at his numbers. I mean, ERA of below 2, and Miles Mikolas has been a guy that I haven't really been able to trust. There was a a stretch there from the end of April to the May where he looked like he was doing real well for the St. Louis Cardinals. But you take a look at Andrew Abbott, especially this season on the road. This will be a 6 road start for the Reds. He's 4-1 straight up in those spots, at 3-2 on the run line. And again, the offense is starting to look like it's hard to hit the baseball for this Reds team. And Miles Michaelis on the other side. Yes, like I mentioned, he had got off to a great start, but at home this season, this will be a 7th start. The Cardinals are just 3-3 in the starts. They lost last game against the Blue Jays, and they're only 1-5 on the run line as well. So I think that if you want to roll the dice here with the -1.5, if your book has that for the Cincinnati Reds, I think you get a very nice plus price on that. But I do like the Reds here behind Andrew Abbott, left-handed pitcher, to get it done against the Cardinals.
Fair enough.
Let's talk about a game.
Rudolph, really appreciate your time. Go ahead, Jeff. You got a quick one?
Oh, so yeah, quickly, Diamondbacks and Rockies. We got about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, it's really just me. This has been a system play for me here. It has been really just fading Antonio Sensatella for the Colorado Rockies. I mean, he has just been atrocious this season. I'm not going to go through all the numbers. Brendan Faught has also struggled a little bit in his career against the Colorado Rockies. But shockingly enough, this is going to be his first start in Coors Field. And we're starting to see the temperatures warm up across the country. So what does that mean, especially in Coors Field, that, you know, the singles turn into doubles, doubles into triples, and we're seeing balls leave the yard now in Coors Field. I mean, early in the season, we're getting 8.5 and 9 totals in Coors Field. And now we're starting to see the normal totals that we sit from 11.5, 12, 12.5. But I know this Diamondbacks team, they're going to be able to hit the baseball. Colorado Rockies, I think, will also contribute to this game. I do see a lot of runs, something similar to what we saw on Friday night between these two teams. So give me the over between the Rockies and the Diamondbacks.
Rudolph Manji, pregame.com. Hey guys, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee the best odds, an average, in fact, by about 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. So we'll do much more on the NBA as we move it along here. That's going to rule today with the Game 7 coming up later tonight. And Kevin Durant on the move. Right now, O's lead the Yankees 2-1. Tigers are raised even at one run apiece. When we come back, little NFL. How about the NFL fewest wins markets? We take a look. He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Tom Byrne. Ready, Set, Bet is on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's always good to have in for Mike and Matt on this beautiful Sunday. I want to remind you guys, if you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200 at the firstbet.com today. All right, Jeff, we'll keep an eye on these games. O's still up on the Yanks, 2-1. Tigers, Rays, 1-1. About to get that Pittsburgh-Texas game going. Let's get a run here in the first inning, get off to a good start. Let's do NFL fewest wins. This is interesting. We'll do most wins in a moment. I'm looking at the Browns plus 400, Saints plus 425, Giants plus 600, Jets plus 800. Then you got some long shots, if you want to call them that. Titans 12-1, Raiders 14-1, Panthers 14-1, Colts 17-1. These odds are all via DraftKings. Please do yourselves a favor and shop around. Anything stick out to you?
So I already have Giants plus 600 in my account. I think it's just a schedule thing, right? Like the Giants, I think, are better than last season, but their schedule was tougher. So let's talk about their schedule. This matters, right? Commanders, Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, Saints, Eagles, Broncos, Eagles, Niners. 1-8? 2-7 at the best? They're not a favorite in any game, maybe at New Orleans, but I bet New Orleans week 5 is like a point favorite, maybe a pick 'em. Otherwise, they're not a favorite in any of those games. And they're at Chicago, not a favorite. Hosting the Packers, Lions, not a favorite. at New England. Maybe, I don't know, then Commanders, Vikings, Raiders, Cowboys. I mean, they're looking at 3-14. And now there's reports that, Jackson Dart's going to play sooner or later, who everyone agreed is not ready to play yet. And so I just think it's going to be a bad year. And that being said, Tom, I think they're actually a better team than last season, but their schedule is tougher. They were 1-8 last year in one score games. They might not have 9-1 score games this season. Like that trend reverses itself, right? That leads to basically being over 5.5, but they might not have many games this year where they're within a touchdown with the final score. So I just think that the Giants are in a really tough spot with their schedule. So +600 to me is what I've taken. I put it in my account already. And I'm okay with tying up that money on this wager.
Yeah, I was laughing because number one, I know you to be a former New York Giant, but number two, yes, I was thinking the exact same thing. You know, the Saints, I think, are worst team. I think it's going to take a while. You know, I know the head coach there comes from Philadelphia. You'll get them off to a, decent start, but they're going to lose a lot of games. I just think the Saints team stinks. They're in a better division, though. The Giants are in a tough division, guys. The Saints, you could win a lot of games in that division. The Giants, you know, I'm a little down to the Commanders relatively.
I know Tom said yesterday he's down on the Commanders, but not, I don't think, enough to really make it to where the Giants are going to beat the Commanders. Week one, obviously, in Washington, I don't expect the Giants to be able to get that home. And the division, right? The Cowboys, who I think are better than we give them credit for. I know we like to laugh at the Cowboys' failures over the years, but the roster is not bad, right? Dak being healthy makes a big difference. The offensive line is good. We know they have pass rushers that can get home. Their secondary is good. Now, I don't know if I trust Schottenheimer, but the Cowboys are a team that is going to be better than most likely the Falcons and Panthers, who the Saints are in division with. And then you have the Commanders and the Eagles, of course. I think the Eagles will handle themselves against the Giants. So it just comes down to just schedule. Again, going through the Giants schedule here, how many wins do we see right now? Not many. You look at New Orleans, and their schedule allows them, I think, the ability to have some wins. Now, will they be a favorite in a lot of these games? Probably not, but you got some, obviously the division on there. You got a Jets game on there, a Titans game on there. These are games you just sort of pick off throughout the season. You have the Patriots as well. These are games the Saints can win to get them over that threshold. The Browns as a favorite is interesting to me because I think it's just about the quarterback situation. I mean, it has to be, right? When you look at the Browns roster, not a bad roster. When I start previewing NFL teams, I try to find as many what I call game wreckers, right? When I was in meeting rooms and we installed on Wednesdays, coaches said, okay, here are the guys we have to worry about. Here are the game wreckers. And that's the way I look at teams, right? When you look at rosters of teams, how many game records does a team have? That sort of can guide me on their win total. I think the Browns have enough game records to not have the worst record in the NFL. It's without the quarterback, right? Their offensive line's fine, right? The wide receivers are fine. We obviously have Myles Garrett. They drafted the young linebacker out of UCLA who everyone loved. Secondary is fine. Like the roster's fine, but it's quarterback, right? It's Flacco and Kenny Pickett fighting for the number one job. And the reports are that if Pickett is to lose that job, or maybe he's already lost the job, they're going to get rid of him, which is what I suspected. I think there's two quarterback competitions happening in Cleveland right now. There's the one between Flacco and Kenny Pickett for the one job, and the one with Sanders and Dylan Gabriel for the two job. Now, with the way the reps have gone, it's hard for Sanders to get Gabriel in that job, but both guys will stay on the roster. The loser of the Flacco Pickett, which I expect would be Flacco, would be Kenny Pickett. He's going to be out. But the Browns at that number, I guess you go off maybe the tougher division, right? Their division is going to be difficult. I mean, they could go 1-5, 2-4 in division. But the Browns, to me, having the worst record, is the favorite to be the worst record. I don't know. I don't like it. It doesn't make sense to me with what we know Stefanski can do as a coach. Remember, he got Baker Mayfield in the playoffs, Joe Flacco comeback player of the year. Like he's been able to have success there, Tom. So welcome Tom back in here. I don't get the Browns being the favorite to have the worst record. The roster is plenty fine. We know at quarterback, they might have some question marks there, but Stefanski's gotten the most out of them. That's why the Giants at plus 600, 6-1 to me, feel like the best bet.
Yeah, I don't think that's bad thinking at all. And I apologize. Apparently, we have some nasty thunderstorms rolling through. Listen, that defense is going to be competitive with Cleveland. That's a tough division. Yeah. You know, you got to go up against Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens. I get that. Pittsburgh, I don't love, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers and company will figure out a way to win 9 games. And obviously, Joe Burrow and company are going to have a wonderful offense. I do worry about Cincinnati's defense. But Cleveland, you're right. That defense.
Yeah, that. Oh, we lost Tom again there. You know, I think the defense is going to be good enough to not have this be a problem. So on the other flip side, the other market, NFL most wins. This is a difficult market to play just because the end of the season can change a lot of how these teams perform, right? If they're winning a division late in the season, how tough, or I mean, how much do they play their starters? It makes it a tough market here. Buffalo plus 350 is the favorite to have the most wins. And Baltimore 5-1, Eagles 9-1, Chiefs and Eagles both 9-1, I should say. 49ers at 13-1. I will say this. I don't know how good the Niners actually are, but their schedule makes a lot of sense. 13-1, Tom. So welcome Tom back in here. Seahawks, Saints, Cardinals, Jacksonville, Rams, Bucks, Falcons, Texans, Giants, Rams. It is a schedule that sets up for the Niners to have a lot of football wins without being maybe the best team in the NFL in 2025.
Yeah, listen, they've got a great coach, too. I know people still clown on Shanahan because he lost the lead in the Super Bowl. If it weren't for Kyle Shanahan, they would not have been in the Super Bowl. Like, I never can remember in my lifetime when a team loses, a team not looking at the head coach, okay? The fan base not looking at the head coach, but looking at the assistant coach on the plane. Yeah. I still get calls on Mad Dog Sports Radio about it. Kyle Shanahan, he doesn't know how to hold a lead. Guys, he was just a coordinator. Dan Quinn was the head coach. And by the way, they had the number one offense in the league that year. Matt Ryan was MVP. You know where the defense was under Dan Quinn? Bottom third. So if it weren't for Shanahan, they wouldn't be in that position. They lost a couple offensive pieces. Yeah, I think the Niners, people are kind of sleeping on them a little bit. Eagles, Lions, you're hearing a lot about both. Rams, too. You got into the Rams yesterday. They're going to be good. But at 13-1, remember, you're just looking at the prices here. 13-1. I think that's a pretty good play to take the Niners there. That's not a bad one.
Yeah. Not in my pocket yet, but I think I think Buffalo makes sense with their division, especially, right? I mean, they're probably going 6-0 in their division. Niners 13-1, though. I mean, they're very capable of winning 13 games with that schedule. Yep. And that puts them right in that conversation. And if you get it now, obviously they'll be better than what you get in season for most wins.
All right, I tell you what, let's change gears real quick. Hopefully they're getting better weather in Omaha than they are behind me. My God, I could hear the thunder cracking. We're good to go, I believe, though. Quentin Mills, co-founder of College Baseball Insiders, VSiN, college baseball contributor, is going to join us next. We'll find some value in the card. Yesterday, Ben Wilson gave us the under 8.5, Jeff. Ching, ching.
Barely got home.
Today.
Barely.
Yeah, today early. We got to get another winner in here. I believe we will. He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Tom Burr. Mike Somich and Matt Brown have the day off. This is Ready, Set, Bet on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Going right along here, talk some MLB, talk some NFL. Now we're going to talk some college baseball. Quinn Mills joins us now, founder of College Baseball Insiders, also a VSiN college baseball contributor. Quinn, welcome to the program.
Always a pleasure talking college baseball and VSiN, guys. Thanks for having me.
Last night, 1-0 LSU win. Incredible pitching performance from both sides. Did last night change at all how you might wager on the rest of the series?
No, I gave out. I did think the offenses would score a little more. I didn't expect somebody to have a complete game shut out with 135 pitches. And then same thing for LSU's bats. I thought they would score a little bit, but I was very confident on the plus 1.5. When the line's 8, 8.5, that kind of tells you that they think it's going to be a low-scoring game, which then if it's a low-scoring game, you would sort of think that it's semi-close. So I'm taking that same strategy, right? So Jacob Morrison today is Coastal Carolina's ace. And then you have Anthony Ianson, who's been one of the best number two guys in the country all season long, going today. I love Coastal. It's a little more juice than I'd like to pay. It's minus 165 is what I got it at. But Coastal +1.5, again, you have an ace thrown again today. You have another good quality arm in Ianson. I think they keep this team, you know, this game close. Both teams have good offenses, but even better pitching staff. So I think we're going to lean heavy on that and keep it within the 1.5.
All right, so we got that on the board. And then, of course, you look at the total. Yesterday, runs were at a premium. Might that be the case today in Omaha?
Well, you still have the same winds, 20 to 30 miles an hour, blowing pretty consistently from right field to left field. Should hang up some of those balls. You're probably going to have the same under 8.5. Our website at collegebaseballinsiders.com is projecting an under as well. So, especially with Morrison, Morrison's probably going to give you 7. Same thing with Ianson. And then you have guys like Dominic Carbone, Hayden Johnson that can come in, Jacob Myers for Coastal. And then on the other side, you've got Chase Shores. I mean, he throws 101 miles an hour, and you have some other bullpen pieces there late that could give Coastal some problems. So I think the under is probably the lean there.
I'm looking at some of the other markets here, like first 5 innings. The totals are set at 1.5 for both teams. Does that feel low? Like, you know, it's juiced to the over, 135 for Carolina, 166 for LSU, but the number does feel low, even though we might expect some pitching today.
Yeah, I do think the offenses wake up a tad compared to yesterday. I don't think we're getting another 1-0 affair. I think it's probably going to be a 4-3 type game. So that first 5, 1.5, you know, if I had to put something on it, I would take the over. Maybe look for a no-run first inning. I don't know what the juice is on that without seeing it in the state of Virginia. But that 2 great pitchers to come out, you're kind of expecting a 3-up, 3-down. Feeling each other out would be a good place as well.
You know, I'm not a huge college baseball guy. I respect the hell out of it. I haven't bet too much on it. I'm curious. I wanted to look around. You would know the answers to this. A lot of times when we're handicapping Major League Baseball, we want to look at some player props, whatever it might be. K-props are always a popular one, for example. People love the home run props. Can you play props at certain books? I'm looking at some local books they're not offering. Can I find them offshore by any chance?
I know Underdog Fantasy has been having them pretty consistently within okay. the college playoffs. I think they posted last night Cam Fluky over under 3.5 Ks and he threw 9. So there was some good value there. That's kind of been the go-to. Unfortunately, I'm in Virginia. We don't have player props. So I can't really speak to the full effect of that other than Underdog Fantasy.
Well, I feel lucky then. I get North Carolina here. We get like guys that hit home runs and pitchers. We got both starting pitchers to strike out. 7+ looks like the favorite of both. Is that a lot? I mean, 7+ in a college baseball game, is that worth the wager making for any of these guys?
Now, is that combined or each?
No, just 7. It said, the LSU pitcher to record 7+ strikeouts -110, and then Morrison, the Carolina pitcher, to record 7+ strikeouts +115. That's the favorite six.
That's probably the right line for these guys. I mean, they've had a track record this year of striking guys out. They're, you know, what we would consider dominant pitchers, downhill throwers. So that's probably right around there. I mean, Fluky gave you 9 yesterday, I believe. Kate Anderson gave you 10. So, you know, they obviously went over that number, but they were by multiple Ks, and you could probably expect the same with these two guys. They're very equivalent to who pitched last night.
So right now, the championship odds, obviously LSU is a heavy favorite to win the championship. Right now it's a minus 425. So if you like them and you missed out on it, maybe a parlay with a cross sport parlay, but Coastal is plus 320. They're slight favorite today. So, and then tomorrow, how's the pitching matchup? Is it worth making a plus 320 wager on Coastal to win the next 2 games, knowing that they're a slight favorite today? And then tomorrow, anything happens in a game 3.
If you still like Coastal, if you think Coastal's going to win today, then there is still value at that plus 325. They'll never admit it, but I think if you talk to LSU behind the curtains, I think Jay Johnson wants to keep this from going to a game 3. I think they have more to lose in that situation than Coastal is. A lot of people forget 2016 when Coastal won the national title, they went to Baton Rouge and beat LSU to get to Omaha. And that's kind of been the storyline looming over, you know, LSU is, hey, you've now gotten to Coastal. You have to beat them. If you lose, hey, Coastal's got your number two times in two matchups, or the fact of, well, you lost to a mid-major. Now, it's sort of disrespectful at this point to consider Coastal kind of a Cinderella mid-major. I think they've warranted themselves as a quality baseball program. But with that being said, if Coastal can win today and get to a game three, they've got to feel, in my opinion, the team with the edge, because one, at that point, you've said they've landed a couple punches in this heavyweight fight. So you got to feel good about that. And then projected matchups is going to be Kaysen Evans and Riley Eichhoff for tomorrow. I lean towards Riley Eichhoff. He's pitched two times here in Omaha. He's comfortable with the mound, the setting, the atmosphere. He's a senior. He's you know, seasoned veteran, used to play at UVA. So he's used to big time baseball. And then Kaysen Evans has had some shaky starts this past season. And he hasn't pitched as much here in Omaha as Riley has. So I think if you're a Coastal Carolina fan and you believe that they can win today, then that plus 325 is good value.
Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, Quentin Mills, co-founder of College Baseball Insiders, VSiN College Baseball contributor. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Quentin. Good luck with your play today.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jeff, I just got a double off the bat of Reynolds here, so we'll see if the Pirates can get one home to get our plays off to a nice start today, as I have the over in the first inning. I laid $1.15. All right, you want to make smarter football bets this season? Start with VSiN Pro for a limited time. Grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL Better Guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You also get a daily best bet email from our expert host and guest, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. Don't miss this early bird special. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, Jeff, so we got the College Baseball World Series today, which is good. Yeah. It's like an appetizer with the main meal a little later, of course, at 8 Eastern time with Game 7 on tap.
Yeah, I think the Coastal plus 320 is not the worst wager to make here, Tom, right? If you think they're going to win today, and again, like, they're a slight favorite today, but you're not going to – if you parlayed them together today and tomorrow, I don't think you're getting plus 320. So I think that's – if you still think that there's a chance they could win this thing, I think it's not the worst wager to make if you feel like you have to get in on the action for this game.
All right, let's update the audience on what's going down so far in baseball. We've got the Braves out to an early start, bottom first, Jeff. They're up 1-0 in Miami. White Sox and Blue Jays top second, scoreless. The Bucks did not score, so I don't love that result. 0-0, Rangers, Pirates top second. Tigers and Rays, Detroit's up 3-1, middle of the seventh. And, of course, you got the O's and Yankees today. They're already in the top of the eighth, if you could believe that. The O's now 345, favored at Pinnacle here in the live number. They're up 2-1, top eight against the Yankees. So once again, the Yankees' bats struggling a little bit. You think the Yankee fans going to be a little concerned here? The last two or three weeks, they really haven't gotten done much at the plate.
Dude, it's such a long season. Like, that's the thing about it, like baseball. Yeah. It's June 22nd. They're going to play till October. You're a fan of the Phillies, I think, right? I'm a fan of the Giants.
Yeah.
They go through stretches where you're like, the Giants can't score right now. They won yesterday. They can't score. And you're just like, all right, well, it's been eight games of this, nine games. Maybe they break out of it at some point. Maybe this is who they are. So, 2-1 right now. Orioles have two on. Top of the eighth inning, no out. So Orioles looking at some more runs here.
Yes, they are. All right, Jeff, we've still got a lot to do, including looking at the Great American Getaway 400 NASCAR race tomorrow. It's about to get underway at Pocono. We'll do some of that. We'll continue to update you on the baseball. And, of course, we got eyes on the NBA. Durant headed to the Rockets. More importantly, Game 7 tonight. Pacers and Thunder in OKC. He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Tom Byrne. This is Ready, Set, Bet. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.